SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Like in most countries, public transport in Australia is the cheapest way to get around. It includes trams, buses, trains and ferry services, and each state or territory has its own transport network.
Good afternoon, customers. Next train to arrive alongside platform 23, Revesby via airport service. This train will stop Green Square.
This is Australia Explained, and I'm your host, Maram Ismail. In this episode, you'll learn some public transport basics that long-time residents often take for granted. Things like what to expect when a ticket inspector approaches you or which commuter behaviors are considered unacceptable. How do you travel to work? The Australian Bureau of Statistics has been asking these questions for the National Census since 1976. Using car as a driver has remained the number one response for almost five decades now. It is estimated that only one in four Australians use public transport for their daily commuting. And for those living in regional areas, public transport services can be limited. But in densely populated urban areas, public transport is in many ways faster, cheaper, and in many cases, it is more convenient or even essential. Most major cities and many towns operate smart card ticketing and payment systems. Professor John Nelson, Chair in Public Transport at the University of Sydney's Institute for Transport and Logistics Studies, explains how these systems work across Australia.
So OPAL in Sydney, it's not yet a New South Wales-wide payment card, but it's primarily the Greater Sydney area. The same applies in Western Australia, where they have the Smart Rider card. The use in the Greater Perth area. In Melbourne, it's called the Mikey card. And in Brisbane and Southeast Queensland, it's called the Go card.
Smart card systems for cashless payments are fairly easy to navigate, Professor Nelson says. But in case you haven't used one before, here is what to expect.
It's usually about the size of a credit card, and it's something that you can preload with value. And you use it to access the public transport system, be that bus, train, tram, or ferry. It's very simple to use. Sometimes there'll be a gate or a barrier where you have to tap your card for the barrier to open. In other cases, there may simply be a payment pole with a card reader to tap on and tap off.
Discounted rates for trips on public holidays and weekends are common across Australia's public transport networks. Many systems also apply pricing caps, such as a daily maximum, a weekly cap, or both. Howard Collins, Coordinator General for Transport for New South Wales, explains how this works on the OPAL network.
What it allows you to do is to travel around all modes on public transport, works out the cost for your journey, and then there's a daily maximum. Then the rest of your travel for the rest of the day is free. And if you travel for a week, the maximum fare you'll ever pay for any journey you made in OPAL is $50.
But remember to always check what rules apply where you live or travel. For example, paper tickets or e-tickets are still required on some regional buses and trains, including in parts of regional Victoria. In some places, such as Western Australia, cash can still be used to buy tickets. And in jurisdictions using contactless payment systems, commuters can also tap on and off using their bank card. Mr. Collins again speaking about New South Wales.
A lot of people nowadays use their own credit or debit card, their own bank card. And 60% of all of our transactions now are using your bank card. Now, not all states and cities have that facility yet. But as I said, nowadays, more and more people are using their own bank card. Sometimes their watch, sometimes their phone.
And if something goes wrong, if you forgot to tap on or off, use the wrong card, or the machine isn't working, Speak to staff or check your transport authority's website for advice on what to do next. Ticket checks are conducted by authorized officers who will identify themselves and ask you to hand over your smart card or bank card to scan on the reader. When scanning a bank card, officers can only see ticketing information, Mr. Collins says.
When you give them your credit card, they don't have any access to your banking information. All they know is where and how you tapped on or off or you completed a transaction. So there's no worries about addresses or other information on your credit or debit card.
It's worth checking if you're eligible for concession fares, including students, pensioners, and some visa holders, but you must carry a proof with you, as eligibility rules differ between states. Public transport offences that you can be fined or charged for include ticketing and behaviour offences. These include travelling without a valid ticket or without proof of concession entitlement. They also cover behaviours such as smoking, drinking alcohol, or putting your feet on seats. If you receive a fine and believe it was issued unfairly, you can seek legal advice or dispute it through your public transport authority. When fines are left unpaid, they can escalate to collection agencies and lead to a range of penalties. Charlotte Hayes, Communication Director at Western Australia's Public Transport Authority, explains how this process works in Western Australia.
There's a team that look at our infringements. You just have to go onto our website and you can find out how to appeal the infringement. You know, what I would say, though, is please don't just put the fine in a drawer and forget about it, because those fines can escalate to what we call the fines enforcement register, which means that it's out of our hands and it impacts credit, it impacts your ability to get a driver's license.
And in emergencies or during service disruptions, follow announcements and staff instructions and use onboard intercoms or help points if you need immediate assistance. Across Australia, public transport networks are equipped with CCTV cameras on board and at stations, along with uniformed staff, to help ensure a safe and fair journey for everyone. People should feel confident approaching staff about safety concerns, Ms. Hayes says.
In some countries, security personnel, you know, may not be trusted or they have very bad experiences with them. Our security personnel are here to help. And that's their primary role, is to keep people safe, to keep them moving. And so, you know, I would say if they either witness antisocial behaviour or themselves are subject to untoward behaviour, you are safe to go and speak to a security officer.
Most public transport services in Australia offer priority seating, step-free access and assistance for people living with disability, older people and parents with prams, though facilities can vary by location. And finally, etiquette. Services are usually busiest during weekday morning and afternoon peak hours, when standing is common and allowing people to board and exit first is expected. Simple expectations like not distracting the bus driver or offering your seat to someone who needs it are widely understood. But what about the less obvious rules, such as noise levels? First, always check whether you're in a designated quiet carriage, Professor Nelson advises.
New users should understand that if you see a coach designated as a quiet coach, that means no loud conversation, that means no taking phone messages, and the signage will usually be backed up by announcements. Quiet coaches tend to be pretty well respected, and people shouldn't be surprised if a complete stranger turns around and says, "Can you stop talking? You're in a quiet coach."
Even outside quiet carriages, sharing public transport means being mindful of others, Ms. Hayes says.
Not having your headphones, you know, blaring the latest Metallica album is good. We don't have quiet carriages here in Perth, but not everyone wants to listen to the true crime podcast that you are listening to. So things like that, it's just the basic level of etiquette that we would expect.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Zoe Tomato, hosted and mixed by me, Maram Ismail. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, Visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.
Subscribe or follow the Australia Explained podcast for more valuable information and tips about settling into your new life in Australia. Do you have any questions or topic ideas? Send us an email to australiaexplained@sbs.com.au.